Live from Cleveland.
While she didn't pay the price she should have paid, she's going to pay that price when November 8th rolls around.
The Doug Wright Show from the floor of the Republican National Convention. Here's Doug Wright.
The more outrageous it is, the crazier it is, it seems to help.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's actually day two now of the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, and We arrived yesterday in time for all of the major speeches in the evening, and it was quite an evening, I have to admit, and boy, you never know who you're going to run into. We were sitting there listening to Rudy Giuliani and Melania Trump and others, General Flynn, and I just looked over my shoulder, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Utah was just right behind me, Greg Hughes, and we chatted for a while, and I said, hey, you got to join us on the show, and he will be joining us coming up in about a half hour here at KSL. I mentioned Ralph Reed. If that name is sounding familiar, it's probably because when it comes to evangelicals in our country, when it comes to Christian attitudes, he and Jerry Falwell Jr. and others are names that you quite often hear. Ralph Reed is the founder and chairman of Faith and Freedom Coalition, and he was walking down Radio Row, and our friends at ABC helped us hijack him. And we had a great conversation, and I wanted to share it with you in its entirety because I think it's important. And Mr. Reed and I talked, and I set the stage. I said, you know, how do evangelicals get to the point where they will put their support behind somebody, especially when there's somebody like Donald Trump, whose background is a little interesting, whose vulgarities, who isn't exactly what you would describe, or most people would describe, as kind of your front row amen sayer or choir boy. And Mr. Reed answered me this way.
Well, my thoughts are, you know, look, we're not electing a commander. I mean, we're not electing a pastor in chief. We're electing...
That's Mitt Romney's famous line.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that, but I think he was right. You're not electing a pastor in chief. You're electing a commander in chief. And I would, to my Mormon friends and those, and I have many dear friends who are members of the Church of Latter-day Saints. You know, in 2012, when Mitt Romney was the nominee, he was somebody who did not share our theology. He was somebody who came from a different faith tradition than evangelicals. He not only was of a different faith tradition, he was of a faith tradition that historically evangelicals have said they believed was a distortion of the Christian faith. And yet 78% of evangelicals voted for Mitt Romney, even though many of them felt theologically that they were not on the same page. Why? And by the way, Mitt Romney got more evangelical votes in 2012 than George W. Bush got in 2004, who was a fellow evangelical, about 5 million more evangelical votes.
I'm seeing numbers now where more evangelicals are going for Donald Trump than they went for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, and the reason is the same. Because even though Donald Trump, in terms of his life and his career, by the way, he is a professing Christian, says he's a believer. But more importantly, because we don't vote for somebody just because they go to the same church
sure,
we do.
Sure.
He shares our values. He's pro-life. He's pro-traditional marriage, which is very important to us. We believe Obergefell was wrongly decided. We don't think that the federal courts should decide what marriage is. We think that should be left up to the individual states and the state legislators in those states. He's pro-religious freedom. He supported the Hobby Lobby decision, supports Little Sisters of the Poor, has placed in the platform, at his insistence, at this convention, for the first time in the history of the Republican Party, a call for the repeal of the Johnson Amendment to the Internal Revenue Code, which threatens churches that speak out politically with the loss of their tax-exempt status. That has been used to harass and persecute the Christian community for over a half century. Donald Trump will end it. He is against the Iran nuclear deal. He promises to renegotiate that deal. He is strongly pro-Israel. So on the issues that we care about, on the issues that are important to us, he is also, by the way, the first nominee in the history of the Republican Party to release in advance of the election a list of justices and jurists who reflect the kinds of justices that he would select as president. And we have a vacancy on the court in Antonin Scalia, which is the deciding vote between four liberal justices and four conservative justices. So the reason why evangelicals really surprised everybody, including, by the way, a lot of evangelical leaders,
right,
is because of those issues that I cared about. Right. They voted for Mitt Romney because of the issues and because of his unique capacity to lead, and they're doing the same thing now with Donald Trump.
As Christians, we never want to question someone's epiphany or their conversion.
Right.
But even, you know, you and I and everybody knows that some of this has been a conversion for
sure.
Donald Trump, because things that he said not that long ago contradict many of the things that you and I have just talked about.
Yeah, I would not agree with the not that long ago. The last time Donald Trump publicly said something that was not pro-life, to my knowledge, and I've looked at it, I may have missed something, was 1999. That was 17 years ago. I've known Donald Trump for 7 years. He's a friend of mine. Now, I remain neutral on the primary, by the way. I did not decide to support him until he was the presumptive nominee.
What was that deciding factor for you, Mr. Reed? Because Jerry Falwell Jr., I was at a rally in Council Bluffs, I think, where it was a discussion between he and Jerry Falwell Jr. Other evangelical leaders fell on board a little sooner. What was...
Sarah Palin did.
What was there... really well-known evangelical leaders like Jerry Falwell Jr. and yourself and others. What was it that finally tipped the scale for you and you decided you could support him?
Well, I could have supported him at any point. He's a friend of mine, and I've walked through the issues of life and marriage and religious freedom and support for Israel and the other things that we care about. I simply made a decision in my capacity as chairman of the Faith and Freedom Coalition that I would remain neutral in the primaries and let the voters decide. We worked with all the candidates. Trump is a friend of mine. A number of these candidates, including John Kasich, Mike Huckabee, and Jeb Bush, are friends of over 20 years, in some cases 25 years. So I had a lot of friends running for president, and I was for my friends. I will say this. I think that if Donald Trump is fortunate enough to be elected, I think he will surprise a lot of people in the evangelical world and in the faith community. I think he has the potential to be the greatest advocate for our values and do the most to advance that agenda, precisely because he doesn't necessarily come from where we come from. When he gets up and says we should defund Planned Parenthood, he has a little more wiggle room to say that. When he gets up and says we should repeal the death penalty and the loss of tax-exempt status for any church that that speaks out politically, he kind of has the ability to do it because people don't really view him necessarily.
That's
a really big issue. So, and by the way, on the conversion, okay, and there's no question that Donald Trump hasn't always been where I have been, but you know what? Neither was Ronald Reagan. 7 years before we nominated him. Just 7 years, not 17 years, seven. He signed the most liberal and permissive abortion law in America, in California as governor, legalizing abortion. And he later said it was one of his biggest regrets, by the way. And, George H.W. Bush was pro-choice when he ran for president in 1980. 8 years later, we nominated him and he was pro-life. Mitt Romney was pro-choice his entire career.
Governor of Massachusetts, you're right.
Yeah, and as a Senate candidate in 1994. His entire public career, Mitt Romney, of over 20 years, I might add, Mitt Romney was pro-choice and he was pro-gay rights. In fact, in 1994, when he ran for the U.S. Senate, he attacked Ted Kennedy for not being pro-gay rights enough. And when Mitt Romney changed his position on abortion in 2006, just 2 years before he ran for president in 2008, did we reject him? Did we say, you're too recent of a convert? I thought we were members of a faith where we were supposed to welcome converts.
We will come back and continue the conversation with Ralph Reed. It was a very, very interesting conversation. He and I kind of hit it off a bit there. And when we come back, I asked him about Hillary Clinton, you know, that she actually knows her Bible a whole lot better than Donald Trump does, actually does go to church, and that's somewhat documented and has a history with Methodism for some time. And it was a very interesting conversation. We'll share more of that when we come back here, live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.